Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week, we're going to be studying the second coming as described in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. For several weeks now, we've been doing an in-depth study, a verse-by-verse study of the entire chapter of Matthew 24. This chapter is referred to as the Olivet Discourse and contains the teaching of Jesus about the last days. Today, what I'd like to do is set the context for what the Lord says about his own second coming so we could also understand the general atmosphere which will exist when he returns. The Lord's statement about his second coming are found in verses 29 through 31 of Matthew 24, which read as follows. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So all this week we'll be looking at these verses of what Jesus said about his own return. And today's study, I'd like to focus on two aspects. I'd like to give you the context of Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31, to supply you with an overview of what has been said up to this point in the chapter. And then look at some references which give you the general conditions which will be on the earth when the Lord comes back. So let's look at the context here of verses 29 through 31 of Matthew 24. First of all, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So what we find is that the Lord's going to come back after a time of tribulation. And that's what I'd like to help you understand of what Jesus has said up to this point about the tribulation period, which leads up to the second coming of Christ. And the entire chapter centers around the questions that the disciples ask the Lord in verse 3. They say, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And so they wanted to know the sign that would take place that would show that the Lord's coming is near. And then the way the Lord answers that, especially found in verses 4 through 14, he says there's not just one sign, but there is a number of signs. These general conditions will be there at the time of my return. And he mentioned six specific things that that generation, which is on the earth, should look for, which will show that the Lord's coming is near. And those are found in verses 4 through 14. The first one is in verses 4 and 5, which speaks about the false Christ that'll rise up. The second one is found in verses 6 and the first part of 7 of the wars and the rumors of wars. The third sign is that there'll be death through famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in the second part of verse 7 as well as in verse 8. The fourth sign is persecution upon the believers in verse 9. The fifth sign is defection or apostasy in verses 10 through 13. And then that sixth sign is the gospel being preached to the ends of the earth in verse 14. And so here are these six signs the Lord gives. And the main point is he's saying that things are not going to get better, but they're going to get much worse before I come. And it is interesting the fact that they ask for a sign. This may be related to the temptation the devil put before Jesus. Remember when he told him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple and then the angels would bear him up, and then, boy, that would be a great way for the Messiah to come on the scene. But that wasn't God's method. That wasn't the Father's plan. So that was a temptation. That may be part of the temptation, this show the sign that your kingdom is here and that you truly are the Messiah. And it is interesting in the text that we read today in verse 30, it does say, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. So the disciples were looking for signs or a particular sign that would indicate that the coming of the Lord was here. And once again, we have to remember that when they asked for the sign of his coming, they weren't asking about the second coming. They didn't even understand that at that point. The word coming here means the appearance. And they were looking for the Lord to come in full power and authority and glory and establish his kingdom. That's what they were looking for. And so the Lord says, here's what the future will hold. It's not going to get better. It's going to get much worse before I come back. Now, the problem with these six signs is they're very general. They've happened in every generation since Christ spoke these words. There's always been famines and pestilence and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and false Christ. There's always been persecution upon the church. There's always been those that have been falling away from the faith, and the gospel is going out into all the world at this time and is being preached. So the Lord gives us another sign in verse 15, which he says is the abomination of desolation. That's a very specific sign that no one, while they're on the face of the earth, will be able to miss. It is that point in which the Antichrist, that last world religious leader, raises up and he goes into the temple of God and he stops the sacrificial system according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, as well as chapter 12, verse 11. He proclaims to be God and demands to be worshipped as God. That's recorded for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And then the Old Testament clearly predicts that this event, the abomination of desolation, will take place at the midpoint of the tribulation. And that's also seen in Daniel 9:27 and chapter 12, verse 11. So the Lord says there'll be these general signs that'll be there during the tribulation period, and they will increase with intensity. But then when this one sign takes place, this abomination of desolation, that's when he said, then there will be great tribulation upon the face of the earth, such as never been since the beginning of the worlds. This brings us up to verses 16 through 21 of chapter 24. And that's where the Lord tells the disciples that'll be on the earth at that time, when they see this particular sign, he says, that's when you need to flee out of Judea and flee to the mountains. So swiftly that you don't even go back to get clothes or provisions, just flee out to the mountains, whose great destruction is going to come upon the earth at that point, and will start in Judea area. And that's because Jerusalem was in the area known as Judea, and that's where the temple will be, and that's where the Antichrist will start his persecution, his fury, and demand to be worshipped as God. At that point, he says, just take off, get out of that area, because verse 21 says, for then there'll be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. This time of tribulation, which Jesus refers to as great tribulation, has its center in Jerusalem, there at the temple, will spread out and bring persecution on the Jews and any followers of Christ, and then will begin to spread out to the entire world. And the Lord says that these days are going to be so terrible in verse 22, unless they had a definite time period to come to an end, which God has established, then that there'd be no one that would remain, because it's going to be such a time of persecution and death and destruction. Then the Lord warns us in advance in verses 23 through 26 that during this time period when this great destruction is coming upon the earth, many are going to say they're the Christ. They're going to say, oh, we found him over here. He's in the secret place, or he's in with our little group out here in the desert, and we know who he is, and he's manifested himself to us. The Lord says, don't believe that, because the coming of the Son of Man, according to verse 27, says is like lightning which comes from the east and flashes to the west. So the Lord's not going to reveal himself to some secret little group or out in some area where no one will be able to find him, but it'll be as lightning when it lights up the sky. It's very obvious, it's very clear, it's very evident to all who are able to see it. That's what the coming of the Son of Man will be like. And this brings us to our second point, the general conditions which will be on the earth at the second coming of Christ. And again, the main emphasis is that it's not going to be a time of peace and prosperity and blessing, but it's going to be a time of mass destruction and death. That's what verse 28 describes in parable form, where the Lord says, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagle will be gathered. That word eagle can be translated as vulture, and so it would be an obvious statement that where there's death, that's where the vulture is going to be. That's going to be the basic condition as the Lord comes back. That's why he said there in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, it's going to be a time of destruction. It's going to be a time of death. So wherever a carcass would be, that's where you would see the vulture. I believe that has direct bearing on what Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 and 18 describes. And this is at the Battle of Armageddon, where the Lord wipes out literally multitudes of people, and then an angel cries out the following words. It says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. So here it describes this Battle of Armageddon, where all these dead bodies are all strewn out through all over the area, that an angel invites the birds of heaven to come and feed upon their flesh, of men that are great and small, slave and free. So all kinds of people from all different areas of society are going to come under God's judgment. That's when we know that the Lord is here in the midst of all this death and destruction. It seems like the world wants to predict some period of peace where all mankind's going to come together and be united and peaceful, and there'll be life and blessing, but the Bible predicts the exact opposite, unfortunately. Now, it's not as if all is doom and gloom, because the book of Revelation also speaks of the 144,000 that are going to be sealed, 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is seen for us in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, and chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And they are described there as the first fruits unto God. That means this is just the beginning of those who are going to be saved among the nation of Israel. And, of course, Gentiles will be saved during this time period as well, but God's going to be dealing specifically with the nation of Israel. Then also, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9 describes this time period as well. And once again, we'll see the death and destruction that culminates there at the second coming of Christ. Here's what's also going to be taking place, as Zechariah predicts it. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. And he's talking about the land of Israel. I will bring one third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. So here we have the Lord allowing two thirds of Israelites to be wiped out during the tribulation period, but bringing one third, they're going to be refined as fire, and they will have a true relationship with the Lord. So the future for the nation of Israel, as predicted in the Bible, is one of tribulation, as well as for the rest of the earth. And that is why we're not to be caught off guard when things will turn on the church and things will turn on the believers and family members will betray one another. That's all predicted, as well as destructions that will come upon the planets. But yet at the same time, Jesus said, when you see all these things, realize that your redemption is drawing near. I would like to close with Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And even though we've looked at this tribulation period and the second coming, which will focus on that time of judgment, we are looking for Jesus Christ to come out of heaven to rescue us from this time of wrath. As Titus 2, verses 11 through 13 describes this blessed hope. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we long for, is to be with the Lord and for Him to come back and establish His eternal kingdom. I hope our study today has helped you get a general overview of Matthew 24 up to the point of our study thus far. I believe every once in a while it's good to take a step back and look at the entire chapter and see how it all fits together and the teaching of it as a whole, and then we could look at it piece by piece. That's what we'll do for the rest of this week, is look at the second coming as described in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31.